set up, Rob, I think that we were looking at bigger picture. We've done some business planning where we want to take the firm, where we would like to go as individuals. And if it's okay with everyone, I mean, I would like to spend some time on that and get your insight and opinion on it.
Okay.
So to go a little bit deeper on that, obviously we've targeted the $1 billion in AUM, that is, asset level. And I think that is completely plausible. But going beyond that, we're targeting $10
billion.
And we're not going to do that through just growing organically. There's going to need to be some acquisitions along the way, and that's how we would get to that number, and in a reasonable time frame. I guess in my question to you is, in your experience, have you dealt with a lot of advisors that are doing acquisitions or that have a specific individual dedicated to that?
Yeah, it's typically in larger firms. And what, you know, I always tell people in building your brand, you've got three different levels, right? That you have to think of as separate constituencies. So you've got your clients, you've got your peers, you've got your boss, and then I guess that would be for the outside world, right? And the question is, what can you do, or what would it be like if the market knew how good you really are? And then that follow-up is, why doesn't the market know how good you are? So you guys have kind of eliminated the boss part of it. So that takes care of any possible referrals from that side, though. The good news, bad news. You don't have a boss, but you don't have a you don't have that source of introductions. You don't really have peers. You have clients. So what you have to do is, in the market, create your own world of peers, right? So other firms that are independent, typically, and would like to merge or join you. So one of the best thing you can do is to do what we do all the time, which is make sure you're adhering to something that others aren't willing to do. So you're building a brand that's different in the market. And the easiest thing to do that, it's hard to do it when it comes to performance, right? Because you're up against the whole world. You can have a Supernova process for performance, which is really good, and you can actually have good numbers, and that's great, but that's not a guarantee. That's, you know, one minute your strategy is working and the next minute it's not. But when it comes to service, you can guarantee the service. And so that's why when you're packaging yourself and going public with it, you have to be consistent that you're actually doing it. So one of the things to do is to take a minute and do a quality assurance that you're actually delivering on what you're saying you are. So what did we say we deliver with Supernova? Everybody gets a financial plan and full implementation of that financial planning process. So that's the first thing. Does everybody have a plan, and is there a process for fully implementing it? That would be your director of brand management, right? Your director of implementation, the director of planning. Those three are in charge of making sure that the plans get done, that they're fully implemented, and there's a process for doing it. And the process is 12-4-2. Okay. So it isn't 12-4-2 in order to just have good customer contact. It's 12-4-2 to make sure that the client is living with their plan and you know that they're fully implementing it. So, and then rapid response to their problems, which you may not think is a big deal, but when you market it, it's a big deal. Rapid response, 1 hour response, 24 hour resolution, any and all problems. Having a rapid response director as part of your brand management is important, and marketing that and tying that together with your overall customer contact model makes you different, makes you unique in the market. And typically, Ben, if you were in an office of 100 financial advisors, you know, and there were, you know, 40 teams or 30 teams or something, and half of them were, you know, 65, you would be marketing yourself to those people based on the great service that you give to your clients. Because when you think about it, what is it that the client really wants? I'm talking about the other financial advisor. What do they want for their clients? They want to be sure they're taken care of, that they're going to get great service. They're not going to get churned. You know, they're going to keep the fees fair and that they have somebody they can trust. And in their buyout, they're going to not get screwed. So what I tell people is go way overboard in order to be a nice guy and to be a guy that takes care of people. You know, you adhere to the contract. You don't screw the other guy no matter what. You know, you bring in a third account, you still split it with him. You know, you don't try and shave things and screw the other guy. So you're always building your brand within the office as a guy that's trustworthy and people like. So you can do that in the market. It just makes it a little bit harder when you're not sitting in an office with 40 other teams or 30 other teams. But the idea is to put yourself in a position where they come to you because they know you and want to have you buy them out because they're thinking of retiring. That's the model for your peers. And then for your clients, it's the same thing. Making an impression, making them feel that you're extraordinary, doing things that other people don't, having that enthusiastically endorsed list of professionals so that you're a center of influence, a networker, a connector in the community, solving problems. You know, my son is 16 and has a drug problem. I don't know what I'm going to do. And you go, I've got a psychologist that specializes in helping kids through their drug issues. I'll have him, I'll set up a call and do a Zoom introduction for you. The guy's like, thank God, I had no idea what to do, right? So you're always problem solving, always trying to help, you know, matter. But you can't do that unless you have that intimate relationship with the client, which comes from 12-4-2s. So it's all kind of connected to a depth that you can't achieve if you're the money manager. They don't tell you about their 16-year-old if they see you as their money manager. But when, you know, one of the things guys are telling me now is that, you know, it used to be, what do we talk about on these 12 calls? Now it's, Rob, this is amazing. I'm doing this now and I've done it for about a year with these people. And what I'm finding is it's just one long conversation about my life, you know, which is, you know, kind of spectacular. But you can't get there unless they trust you and gradually open up to you. And then that, you know, the $2 million rollover that they didn't tell you about comes in. And the referral. So it, to me, it all starts with what are we doing that other people aren't doing that clients want? So I've got a couple of guys that I'm meeting with one of them. And that's why I have to leave. He's got $37 billion under management. And he's the managing director for Greystone at Morgan Stanley. And I hired him back in 1985 when he was 20. So he flew his own plane down here to Nashville. He's got meetings with different institutions in the town. So we're going to have lunch and talk about my Supernova Scholars Program. And then I'm going up to Chicago to meet with Raj Bhatia, who has $2.7 billion, and still with Merrill Lynch, and he's going to be celebrating 40 years with the firm. So I, you know, and I hired him in 1980. It was my first hire, one of my first hires. And so part of it is being in the business for a long time, right? Part of it is doing a good job of investing. And part of it's being really smart. Now, these two guys are really smart. I was trying to figure out why are they so successful? Both of them are really smart. I've got another guy I just started coaching. He's in Davenport, Iowa. And I was coaching him and he's picking up on this stuff like crazy. I mean, he started out very reluctant and he told me, he said, I thought this was just going to be another coaching thing. And now he's just, I think I'm in week 7 or 8 with him. And I said, you're amazing because he's picking it up and he's doing it. And he said, this worked. This was unbelievable. I tried this. It worked. Well, you know, of course it works, but most people don't do it. So I look back at his resume. Oh, he went to Harvard. Oh, another, he's really smart. He's the one that said it's kind of like one long conversation now. He's just so excited about it. Cause you don't know how to get clients to open up and really talk to you. So this kid is going to be $1 billion. He's going to have $1 billion. You know, I told him, you're going to have $1 billion. I said, I want you to hire another sales assistant. You got to leverage yourself. Don't wait for the firm. They're going to say no. You go hire them. We'll figure it out. So that's what you want to do. Do the gap analysis. Where are we now? Where do we need to go? And how quickly can we get there? And what's holding us up? So take the 5-star model and go through it. Director planning, implementation, brand management, marketing, and leadership. And then figure out where are we now? Where do we want to be to get that billion? And what are the obstacles we have to overcome? And are there any gaps in there? What's that gap between where we are now? What do we need to accomplish that? Do we need to hire someone? If we don't, fine. Do we need somebody for that? So I'm freed up to do this, which I'm really good at. The other thing to do is to do an analysis, do a 360 of yourselves. And everybody in the group analyzes each of you and puts down what is his strength and what's his weakness. And you do it anonymously. And then you compile them all. And then you look at yourself and say, this is what my team thinks about me. You go online and figure out how to do a 360, but do a 360 if you want to really accomplish something. And that will help you to analyze everybody on the team and what they need to work on and how their peers see them. You see, there's how do I see myself? And then there's the reality of how do others see me? That was always hard for me because I had a very good self-image. I didn't like hearing other people not seeing me as who I thought I was. But it was very healthy for me because that was the truth. Ben?
Yeah.
Amazingly quiet.
That was the plan today. I wanted Ethan and John to kind of pick your brain and get the different perspectives that you bring. Things that we, you know, you're going to bring a different perspective to these questions than we can answer, basically. So since we've spent a lot of time together, I wanted to yeah. share that for Ethan and John with their own questions for you.
The reality, here's an interesting revelation I had the other day, which was, if you knew how good you were, would you have been better when you were doing whatever you were doing? Yes, is the answer usually. Most of the time you don't know how good you are and you don't give yourself credit for how good you are and how much value you bring to clients. Had I known, when I was managing, I recruited and I brought in great guys and I trained and I coached and I did this with my teams. But I thought everybody did that, right? I thought all managers were like me. And I thought, you know, so there were certain, so when I recruited, I didn't recruit like, you don't understand. You really need to be over here. I recruited like, I'd really like you to come and kind of like when you're ready, I'll be here and I hope you make a good decision and come over. Now I was a better salesman than that, but in my head, I was thinking if I bring them over, it's going to disrupt them. They're probably going to lose 20% of their clients and they're doing fine. They sound like they're doing fine. And that guy over there, he's a good guy. He's not as good as I am, but he's good. And in reality, once I got into this coaching thing and I met different managers and I mean, I always knew managers, but not from the bottom up, right? From their FAs up to them. I found out that there's a huge difference between what managers do and what I was doing versus what the others were doing. I would have been twice as good, maybe five times as good at recruiting had I done this job first. I would have been a much better manager. So my challenge to you is, are you holding yourself back because you don't think you're quite as good as you really are? You know, are you not selling with this kind of energy and going after these guys like, if you don't come over, you know, you're an idiot. Without saying that, right? But you got to have that in your head that I can't let him sit there in that other office. I've got to convince him to come over because he's going to do twice as well here. And that's what you got to have. You got to have that with your client. You know, you're doing fine. I know. But if you were here, you would do so much better. You got to have that attitude, Ben, everybody. If you don't, you're going to miss things. And you know what? Most of the time they are that much better off when they come over, right? The guys I brought over, they did great. I didn't lose hardly anybody. But you know what? I didn't, you know, I always thought I was good. Everybody thought I was good. But you know what? That little voice in my back of my head said, you're good, but you're not that good. So how do you,
so guys, do you think that we're holding ourselves back, guys?
Well, it's hard to say. We don't have a lot going on in terms of either acquisition of new business, whether that's advisors or clients at the moment. I think we do a great job
with what I would consider to be, you know, our core clients, finding someone around our minimum who we can drive value for. We do it for our existing clients every day, and that's, you know, pretty plain to see. Do I think we are the sole factor in holding ourselves back? I think we have to take some of that blame. It's hard to see from a client acquisition side how we can get traction with just the three of us. You know, if we were to turn and look at the advisor side of it, you know, bringing somebody in after the initial sort of speed bump to get them over the line here and integrated and functioning, we'd be able to move at a better clip. So, you know, we are held back, I think, to a degree.
Yeah, I think all of us, you know, if everybody said yes, who would you ask for the business? Right? If you knew everybody was going to say yes, who would you go after? And why don't you go after them? Because there's a chance they'll say yes, but we don't go after them. The other one is asking your existing clients for an introduction. You know what? They're not going to be offended. They're either going to have somebody for you or they're not. And they don't even know you want somebody. And that's all call reluctance. Now, what I'd like to do on the next call is role play how to get introductions from your existing clients. When I wanted to hire a sales assistant or a financial advisor from the competition or anywhere else, you know where I started? My existing people. I would ask them, who do you know? Who do you know would be a great sales assistant for Ben? Who do you know that would be a great financial advisor and a great addition to our company here? And they would always have somebody, but did I ask all the time? No. When I was hustling and wanted to win a asset gathering campaign or, you know, for a trip to Europe, that was motivation. So I was great at it. But, you know, so you create your own little contest. Whatever you need to get yourself off your ass and to do these things, do it. Because it's all us. It's all about us. It's not anybody else. We can't rely on anybody else. It's us. Are we doing it or are we not? And if you're not doing it, it's just call reluctance. It's just, I'm too busy. I got all this stuff to do. What? What's more important than bringing in a new $20 million client? Nothing. But are we asking? No. We're hoping they remember to give us one, and they don't. So we don't have any new prospects. So you end up going, what's wrong? I just did this with the group before, and they are a very sophisticated team, and they're having the same problem. And I said to their Timmy, I said, you're the salesman. How much time are you devoting to this, to acquisition? How much do you want to grow? I want to grow a lot. What's a lot? I want to increase by 40%. Then you got to devote 40% of your time to it. Oh, wow, that's a lot. I said, that's what it's going to take. And you're going to start in the easiest place possible. People already know you, like you, and trust you. Your own clients. He goes, yeah, but I'm not sure what to say. I said, okay, next time we'll do a role play. Okay. Just you and I will role play it until you know it. He said, oh, that's great. Thanks. I said, call Cindy, set it up. That's all we'll do. Next call. That's all we'll do. I said, good. I got to do that immediately. I said, okay. Okay, it's in chapter 12 of the Supernova Multiplier. You can read it, or you can have me role play it and pay me. Okay. And so they're doing it. So that's what I recommend for you guys. Because my bet is if I ask you to role play it right now, you don't have the words. Right? No. So learn the words. You got to script everything. Everything you do, you should script. Ask your sales assistant to do something, you got to script them. You got to sell a new product, you got to script it. We get away from that stuff. That works. Knowing what you're going to say, how you're going to say it, especially for you guys, you're young guys. You don't know what you're doing. Script everything. Write it down, practice it, do it. Get it better, rewrite it, do it over and over. And pretty soon, by the time you do 10 clients, you're good. You got it. But you're not going to be right the first time.
We have a good example from this last week. We got a referral to deepen the relationship within one of our wealthier families. But it's something to work off of. John mentioned it. We got to save this thing here. We can reuse this. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Ben, you want to set that up?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good. The three of you guys?
Perfect.
Okay. Chapter 12, Supernova Multiplier. Read it, read it, read it. And then when we count, you and I will role play, and then I'll role play with each one of the guys.
Okay. So we'll do that next month?
Or you can do it next week.
Right. We'll do that. You mean with you or with internally?
Well, I mean, if you need it, if you need me, I can do it next week.
Right.
It's up to you, you know. Just make one of the monthly calls a practice. You know, we just substitute. That's all.
I got it. Okay.
So, you know, it's one of those things. You're not going to be good unless you know what you're saying unless you practice it. So you got to know what you're going to say. You got to have the right words, and then you got to practice it.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that we need to focus on this. Like we did it from the beginning where we said, okay, what's our top 20% of clientele when we started this process again here? And those clients, you know, what do those look like? They have 15 million assets. You said, congrats, that's unusual. Okay, so let's talk to, what's our script? Right.
Right.
What's the script for the person that's selling their business for $50 million and they have 15 right now? Which in my networks at this point, I can easily run into on a Sunday evening and wherever I am, and I have to operate on that basically. You know, it doesn't matter what I'm doing. That's my opportunity. That's probably the only time I'm ever going to see that person. So, you know, initially, meaning, in other words, like that's my chance. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, 10 PM somewhere. That's my chance to speak to that person. Someone's introducing me.
Right.
You know, they know what I do. There's some kind of, you know, mutual respect where there's an introduction made and I have to, you know, I'm on, right? So,
yeah, what's your elevator speech?
Right. Right.
Different subject, but important. The other one is, how do I ask you for an introduction?
Right.
That's a different script, but each one of them needs their own script. You got to know what you're going to say before you run into that guy, and you got to know what you're going to say when you meet your client and have lunch and are talking about introductions. That's all we're going to meet. We're going to meet and have a special lunch where I'm going to ask you for an introduction. What is that? How does that sound? What do I say?
Okay, so we've got two scripts to run through there.
Yep.
And we'll schedule it, and I'll do it with you, and then we'll do it with the guys.
Great.
Okay?
All right, you want Cindy to call you? You're going to call Cindy. What do you want to do?
Yeah, well, Ethan will follow up.
Okay. Ethan, thank you.
Yes, of course. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob.
Thanks, guys. Really good. It was a good call for me. I hope it was for you.
Yeah. As always, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.